Magi? Who are these wise guys? Matthew 2. Well, this is an interesting story. We always love it. It's part of our Christmas theme. And some things we have to know right up front. First is, there weren't three of them. Second is, they weren't kings. Third is, they didn't visit Jesus in a manger. And fourth is, they weren't looking for a Messiah, they were looking for a king. We get those. Oh, fifth. Better give fifth. When the Magi, some say up to 12, when they came, they, they were coming because what they'd seen in the stars. They were coming in order to honor a new king. They were coming perhaps at the bequest of their own king in Persia, in Babylon, actually. Babylon was part of the Persian Empire at that time. And these would have been some of those who advised the king. Well, let's think about the story here. Watching the stars every night. The darkest of nights, they see the most of the stars, and we would be absolutely overwhelmed living in Southern California with all of the lights here that block out most all of the stars. We would be completely overwhelmed with what we would see in the stars. But these astrologers, these philosophers, looked at the stars every night. They looked at the movements of them. They saw certain of these bright lights not only would traverse the sky, but sometimes they would turn around and go back. And then they'd go on again. Now, those were part of the things they used for the signs that they would predict from the sky. But those things that went in that retrograde orbit were actually planets. And so they began to see the pattern of the skies. They began to see things that lined up. And they began to know when planets came to a certain alignment or they showed up in a certain part of the sky. And so they also were philosophers that studied. They studied the writings of all the ancient peoples. Since the Jews had spent so much time in Babylon and many were left over after the exile returned, they studied the Hebrew scriptures as well. They had scriptures that they could dig into and they could try and search out. They studied the scriptures that came from far and wide. These guys, they came from Persia. That's your first line. The scripture only says that there were more than one. We know that they were Zoroastrian priests. Zoroastrian, what's that? Well, that's one of the earliest, alongside Judaism, that's one of the earliest one-God religions. God had revealed himself in an incomplete way through that worship, whereas we trust God has revealed himself in the complete way through Abraham and Moses and the descendants that we have. But they were Zoroastrian priests. They were advisors to the king of Babylon. So priests, advisors, philosophers, and astrologers. Why? Because they were seekers of truth. Now that's what made them special in the story. They were Gentiles. They were from the land of oppression and the land of the exile. But they came seeking truth and seeking the new king. And they saw it in the stars. And it came at the time. And God used their searching for truth to come and show us some more of the truth of the Savior. As they were searching for truth, God set a star in the sky that made them not only consider what's going on. Now, it probably took several months for them to consider what they were going to do. You don't just take right off. It's not like a traffic signal that goes from red to green. You don't just take right off. You have to consider what it is you're going to do and consider how you're going to follow this sign and if you're going to follow and what does it mean and why would I want to spend weeks and weeks traveling across the barren waste and up into the hills and around on the route to come down into Jerusalem. Why would I want to do that if I didn't think that this was really important? Well, as they advised their king, as they talked about what they saw in the stars, as they talked together about what they should do, there was an entourage that was sent out. An entourage. Now, Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem." That's really all he says about him. Wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. East, what does that mean? It just means anything out there. You know, it's a rather bland term. We say the East and we might mean Asia or China. We live on the west coast of the United States, so we fly west to go to the East when we go to Japan or we go to China or we go to those Asian countries. But for Jerusalem, the East meant Babylon. It meant the Persian kingdom. Iran is Persia, Iraq is Babylon, and in the time of Jesus, they were under one Persian empire at that time. Parthian, they call them, in case you know that word from history, the Parthian kingdom. They came from the east to Jerusalem after Jesus was born. This is why we know it wasn't in the manger that they came. That's one of the reasons. But also, they went to see the king. They were seekers of truth, and they came as envoys from their king to the king of Jerusalem. The Magi, we always believe they are seeking the Jewish Messiah. What we have here in Scripture, Matthew 2:2, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and we've come to worship him. Now, yes, you're used to seeing this verse saying we saw a star in the east, but the alternate translation of the same word is rising or appearing. So we saw his star when it rose. We have come to worship him. They were seeking, we believe, the Jewish Messiah, but they act like they're looking for a king, quite honestly. They went to Jerusalem. And what they expected to find in Jerusalem was infant royalty. Where is he who has been born? Okay, infant. King of the Jews, royalty. We saw his star in the east. The ancient world believed that the skies gave these portents not only religiously but politically when there's change in power. We saw his star. There is a new head born for the Jewish nation. We saw it when it rose. We've come to worship him. Now, they saw this. They expected to find infant royalty. They saw this event in the stars. And now they made their choice to visit Jerusalem. Now, when they came to Jerusalem, we have some troubling words here, actually. Because it says, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, "And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Well, here's the thing. If Herod is troubled, so are his subjects. that's just going to be the way it was. He was ruthless. He was already known for being ruthless. He had already ruled at the time of Jesus' birth. He had already ruled for nearly 40 years. And he was the great builder, but he also killed some of his own family so they wouldn't take his throne. And so if Herod is troubled, then everybody's troubled. If he's upset, everybody's upset, because this is not going to look good. Herod called the Sanhedrin together. It says, he says, assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people. Okay, he wanted the whole council there. And he asked that whole council where the Christ was to be born. Now, it could be that there was some debate about this, because some of the writings of the day that were circulating around were talking about different kinds of places where the Messiah might come from. And of course, all of those who resided in Jerusalem thought it certainly would come from Jerusalem. But finally, they finally decided they'd look at the scripture and stick with the scripture. The scribes got their scrolls out, and they showed, look, it shows it right here in Micah chapter 5. And they decided on Bethlehem for Micah's prophecy. But now, the problem here is this prophecy says that from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. There is absolutely no doubt what kind of trouble this is going to present, because that meant Herod had a rival. And if Herod has a rival, he's going to get rid of that. He's not going to let that stand. Rivalry to his leadership was not going to be permitted. So he called those magi together quietly. He calls them and said, come into my chambers. I'd like to talk with you a little bit. Well, now, they were used to visiting and consulting with the kings. I mean, they didn't come in as kings, but they didn't come in as paupers either. They had access to royalty where they lived. They had access to royalty here in Jerusalem as envoys of that king. And Herod was willing to come and see them. They were important people. They really were. And Herod brought them in and asked them secretly. He summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. Well, his secret search, it was because he knew what he was looking for. He was looking for a rival, and he wanted to eliminate the rival. And so he asked the wise men, I'm backing up, my wife helped me out, thank you, love. He wanted to find out when this happened. Okay, so he wanted to know, he knew what he was looking for, he wanted to know when this happened, he asked for them when they saw the star, and so he needed to find out who he was looking for. Go and search diligently that I may worship him. And actually, worship here, this same word is used for simply kneeling before a king, giving homage. It's not necessarily a religious word when you're talking about the political reign. It's just kind of like in England, you know, you have the lords of the realm. Well, for us, we have one Lord. We generally don't assign the title of Lord to our common people. And so sometimes we use religious language when we're talking in the political sphere. They go together, because when we see God as our king and God as our leader, then we really believe that it's only he that deserves our worship. For he is worthy. He alone is worthy, and we want to give him the worship that he desires. So then we find out that the star shows up again. Now, the first part, they saw his star. when they were in the east. They saw its rising. They saw it and they connected it to the meanings, to all their reading, to all their study, to all their background, to trying to see how the world is working so they could advise the emperor of the Persian Empire, who wanted to know who was after him and who where he could expand and how he could connect. So he used them all the time. In the opening story, they saw the star, and they were in the east when they saw it. They saw it when it rose. And Matthew just says they came from the east because they saw the star. They knew where to go. They knew that this had something to do with Jerusalem. But now, something new happens. After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose now went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. See, the following of the star was actually from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. The need to go to Jerusalem happened when they were in the east. And behold, that star that they had seen went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Can you imagine the months that went into planning this? Can you imagine the expense that they went to mount this expedition? Can you imagine what it would have been like to show up at the throne room of a ruthless king and say, "We know who your replacement. We know your replacement has been born." Okay, kind of gutsy, actually. And now, when the king said, "My scribes say, look in Bethlehem," and they leave his chambers and they look at the night sky and they see the star again. The sign is back, and it goes toward Bethlehem. And so that was enough to excite them pretty well. So they got the directions to Bethlehem. They saw the star over the child's bed, the place where he lay, after all. And their joy began because they anticipated the end of this great quest. A lot of our fantasy movies are involved with a quest. The Hobbit and the Lord of the Rings. You know, there's a quest. You start out, the hero faces many dangers in order to finally fulfill the end means of what he was set out to do. The quest has a beginning and a reason and an end. For these magi, the quest had a beginning when they saw it in the stars. It had a meaning, a king of the Jews, and it has an end when they finally come to see the child. And so they anticipated the end of their quest, and they found that finding the new king of the Jews was going to be rather exciting. Exciting is kind of an odd word. This is going to be troubling. Herod is troubled. They should be troubled. They're excited. Everything's going on. Their emotions are exploding all over the place. And they have this exceedingly great joy because God has said, "You have come to where I sent you." And they knew it in their hearts, and they were sure of the purpose, and they knew what they were going to do next. They came into the house of Mary. Joseph isn't mentioned in this passage, even though in Matthew, the angel speaks to Joseph more to Mary. In fact, starting in verse 13, Joseph is back again. But right now, they entered the house of Mary. It is the house of Mary and Joseph, of course. But here's what it says. Going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country another way. As they came into the house of Mary, we see, of course, it was a house. We know it's not the stable. When Herod had to ask when they saw the sign, and later he was going to destroy children under 2 years of age, we knew that this was a little while ago. And as they came into the house, they saw the child. The scripture uses a word for infant rather than newborn at this point, with his mother Mary. And they fell down and bowed to the king. They thought him as king. Who is he who is born king of the Jews? Who is he who is born to shepherd my people Israel? They were focused on the king of Israel. They were focused on this new king. They weren't focused so much on the Son of God. They bowed to a king as they would to any king. But here was a child with a mother in a house in Bethlehem. And here these envoys from Persia come into the house. And I am not sure what Mary was thinking at this point, but this was not everyday occurrence, certainly. And they bowed down and paid him homage. They brought the gifts that were appropriate to bring to a king. These were gifts that were expensive. These were gifts that were extravagant. These were gifts that were honoring who they were seeking. They would offer to any king similar gifts. They didn't know what God was doing in the story. They just figured out, well, they didn't quite know they were part of the story. They had picked up the story of the scriptures when they were studying back in Persia, but they didn't know they were part of the story until finally they get to the end of this and they're warned in a dream not to go see Herod again. A dream warned them to avoid Herod. Well, the gifts that they brought, we find they're very significant. The wise men were coming to honor a king. And as they came to honor this king, they brought the gold. Gold is for royalty. Jesus, the Son of the Most High God, born to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he deserves every gift you would give, and certainly the finest gold is worthy of him. But God was also going to use that because Mary and Joseph needed to take the boy and head off to Egypt pretty soon, and they needed a little cash in their pocket, so this was good. God was providing for them, as well as these magi were honoring a king. But God says, this is my Son, Lord of Lords, King of Kings. He will sit at my right hand. He is royalty. They brought frankincense for deity. For deity. Frankincense, this was a major ingredient in the incense that was waved in the temple, that was presented to represent the prayers of the people, that was surrounded the Holy of Holies, was always burning inside the temple. The frankincense was a special kind of incense. It was expensive. It was scraped from bushes, and it was carried in small lots, and it had a value pound for pound higher than gold. But it was used to signify this was the Son of God. This is deity. And then the myrrh was brought. The myrrh represents humanity. Humanity, because Jesus was born incarnated. God put on flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This same flesh that shows up in the first chapter of John, at the end of John, is crucified for our sins and rises again. Myrrh represents his humanity, for we are all born and we all die. Jesus, in his earthly existence, was born and died. Although he died not for his sins, he died for our sins. When he died, he took our sins into hell where they belong, and he came out because he doesn't belong, and rose again in order to stand at the right hand of God. He is royalty. He is deity. He came in full humanity that he might be our perfect Lord and our perfect Savior. Who are these wise guys? These are the ones that God used, the first Gentiles that came to worship God. Now, they thought they were just paying homage to a king, but God says, this is more than the king you expect. This is my Son. You didn't even know you were bringing gifts for my Son. This is my Son. You didn't even know you were bringing gifts for the Lord of Lords. This is my Son. You didn't even know that you're predicting his sacrifice for my people. And that's why Matthew put it in here, so we would know. So we would know that God speaks to even those who don't know him. God leads even those who don't know him in order to expose the purposes and the person of Jesus Christ. Isn't God amazing? Father, thank you for the gift that you give. Thank you.